very much prevalent in the lives of so many contemporary Christians today is this inability or the unwillingness to set right priorities in life. Most of us simply, if you like, react to everything that happens around us. And then we do our best, you know, to work our way out of the circumstances where we found ourselves. It is true, you don't find many proactive Christians, you know, those who prepare and look ahead of time, and they do so by setting proper priorities in their lives. And so how often do we see people who don't spend time in prayer until God forces them into a corner where they finally realize, you know, that their only hope lies in prayer? How often do people take for granted the many wonderful things, you know, in life until the day comes when all the things that they have taken for granted are no longer there, no longer available? I think this is a great challenge for contemporary Christianity. See, the Apostle Paul, I believe he had, you know, his priorities straight. He knew what was the most important things in his life, what they were, and that's what his life was always anchored in. The knowledge of who it was that he was serving and of the will of God in his life. And so he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he proclaimed, you know, for me to live is Christ. And then to die is gain. What he was saying is that while he was alive, his priority was to serve the Lord, to live for him. So that when he died, then his reward for faithfulness would be gained. So what are our priorities in life? It's a very loaded question because we have huge distraction in our society today. What's the most important thing to you right now? It's actually quite a difficult exercise if you were to sit down and actually write it out. There'll be like huge conflicts, you know, in terms of the multiple or multitudes of things that are actually important to us. These questions actually can always be answered by looking at where you spend most of your time and what you're doing with the time that you have, because they tell on us. And too many people are seemingly, and that's my observation as I travel and minister across this nation and into other nations, too many people are seemingly just wasting the precious minutes of their life on trivialities that has no, you know, that have got no eternal consequence except to cause them to miss out on God's best. So I want to quickly share with you So I want to share with you as quickly as possible what I believe would be a few core areas of life where I think priority is absolutely essential. So number one is what I call spiritual food. Now, you don't get to hear this too often these days. You know, some folks have their priorities set only upon the necessity of this life. And they completely ignore or neglect the necessity of preparing for the eternity that is surely coming. Let's be honest. How many of us, all right, how often during the day do we actually stop and think about eternity? The good Australian lives negate that, you know. We're quite comfortable. How much time each day do we take to imagine what heaven will be like? I mean, let's face it. We talk about eternity. We talk about getting there. We talk about, you know, and we preach about heaven. But are we really setting the priorities in our lives that will actually prepare us for that place or that journey? Are we sowing into eternity? Now, we all know we sow into this life. We do a lot. We all know that mankind has certain priorities and needs that must be met in order to sustain life on this earth. You know, such as food. Mind you, the possibilities of food in this nation. Clothing, you know, water, shelter. And it's not hard for us to set priorities to have these things, because without them, we won't exist. We'll die. And it's only after we've taken care of these most important things that we begin then to lose sight on what should come next. And this is where I think confusion sets in. And all of a sudden, we lose our way and our priorities all got out of whack. And it's not long, you know, until we find ourselves in trouble. And there are some people who generally have all the priorities mixed up. Well, let me ask you a few rhetorical questions, okay? Don't answer them. Never answer them, okay? Have you ever seen Christians who had all their priorities mixed up when it comes to spiritual food they need? So they are so, so busy. You know, they have time for holidays, but not church camp. They love all the programs in the church, all the buzz and, you know, all the musical concerts and you know, all the workshops or whatever, work days, whatever. But you can't get them into a teaching class where they can truly learn the Word of God and get some real meat from God's Word. You know, they are trying to fill up with all the stuff, but never really got real food for their soul, and their soul is actually starving to death. Now, it's good. It's good to have all these other things, you know, in life and to take part in them. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with all the awesome activities of life, all the fun and the excitement, you know, all the musical, all the buzz and the wonderful songs. And I love them too, by the way. But if we never feast on the Word of God, if we never really got serious and get plucked into the Word of God, no seasons of solitude, you know, about setting time aside to communicate and just being still with the Lord. And we don't take time to be fed those things that make us strong spiritually, then I believe our priorities need some reworking. If we are ever going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of the Lord, like what Paul, you know, taught us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, then we need to make those things that give us spiritual well-being, strength, or that they give us strength, a much higher priority than those things that give us physical well-being and strength. And it is a tall order in our society today because of such distraction and all the possibilities and options that we have. It's actually a curse of our modern society. How often do you find solitude in prayer or just being by yourself and just being reflective? Number two area, a core area that I think we need to look at it, you know, with an eye for priorities, is what I call care and burden. The cares and the burdens of this life, that's another area where we may not prioritize right either. Now, we all have burdens. We all have cares to carry. The many crosses we bear and the many cares we worried about. Jobs, education, money, children, accommodation, relationship, health, ministry, services, and so on. Tons of them. And many of these burdens and cares, they are entirely legitimate. They are real. And we need to be concerned with them. But when our cares and our burdens become, you know, our priority over our relationship with Christ, over our walk with God, you know, then not only will these cares and burdens, you know, take a toll on us physically or mentally and emotionally, but we could find ourselves losing our spirituality too. We find ourselves losing our zeal for the Lord in the process. And the nearness and the presence of the living God in our lives escapes us. And even if we do come out right and achieve all that we want to do in life, our whack priorities will still take a toll on us in real term. Now Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 verse 25, he said, "What is a man advantage if he gains the whole world and loses himself or be cast away?" What good is an achievement or a success story? All great, wonderful assets in life. What a great ministry and service if we don't know the will of the Lord for our lives. Our priority should be to have a strong relationship with Christ first, and then everything else will fall into its proper order. See, our contemporary approach to life is like this inscription that I read that was left by a prospector during the American Wild West, you know, that can still be found in a museum today in South Dakota. And this is what this inscription said by a prospector, okay? He said, "I lost my gun, I lost my host, I'm out of food, the Red Indians are about to kill me, but hey, I've got all the gold I can carry." I actually see that often in my ministry travels. People claim to have the goods, but there's a very apparent contradiction in their lives. They believe one thing, but say and do another. They claim to be on their way to heaven, but the road they're traveling is clearly leading them in the opposite direction. They claim to know the Word of God, but they don't know how to rightly divide it or interpret it or trust it or believe in its inerrancy. In other words, the Word is never wrong. It's the authority. So it doesn't do them much good. So very selective Christian values. What suits me gets a past. What doesn't suit me gets an X. They're running through hostile territories in their life, really, with the devil hot on their trail, stealing from them and destroying their soul, and they don't even comprehend the danger and the risk therein, all because their priorities are not right. Number three, core area, perhaps most importantly, that I want to emphasize on, is our culture. Our contemporary Australian culture. You know, there are those who really believe that their priorities are right in the context of the current culture, and no one else can tell them any different. The problem is that they are basing their priorities on the wrong facts. We so easily blend God's truth with the assumption of our culture today. And that's why we have such increasing pressing issue of being politically right within our society today. So we fail to realize that so many things are weighing us down. You know, not only the cares and the burdens that I talked about earlier, but also all the entertainments that provide an escape from reality, the little errors in our belief and value system that are so easily rationalized, so easily justified or covered up, or, you know, and all the bad spirit and terrible attitude that are so visible to everyone else but not to us. There are just so many weights, modern weights, hanging on us that we can't move any further in Christ, and our whole life is spent running in places, you know, and never going anywhere in God. In a nutshell, that's contemporary Christianity, by the way. Our priorities, our modern-day contemporary Christian priorities, are found only in what we want to do. To feel good for the moment, or to allow us to escape to a comfort zone, or where we can feel accepted and important within our community or our society. You see, cultural Christianity has become a weight in life. And Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And then we need to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, question is, how can we run the race and strive for the prize when we are so weighted down with everything in life but what God says we need to carry? So we don't want to give up anything that we want to do so that the work of the Lord will get done. We're so culturally imposed. And as a result, we only want to give God our leftovers. But God wants our total beings, our first fruit, our best times, our best work, not our leftovers. How many people here actually love to eat leftovers? You know, you'd rather eat something fresh and hot, right? That's why we've got all the such eating possibilities in this country. You know, not something is a week old out of the cold fridge. But sadly, honestly, that's what a lot of people ever offer to God. A sort of a cherry-picking approach that we do. You know, I take what's best for me in the circumstances and the cultural setting and sort of cherry-pick and then wonder why, after leaving all the leftovers to God, why we never actually see breakthrough in our lives. And it's all a matter of setting the right priorities in life. If we don't set the right priorities in our life, we will often find ourselves focusing on the wrong thing, on the trivialities and the distractions of this life, and forgetting to give attention to those things that really are really, really important to our overall being. So we'll lose perspective on where God is really trying to take us. And more so in this time and season where there's such cultural pressure and politically right pressure on every side, you know, including laws that are going to be increasingly difficult for us. Every distraction, that all the twists and turns in our lives. Unless our priorities are in the right place, we are not even able to be able to stand to contend, let alone win the fight. I want to tell you a story. This will keep you awake. This is an old legend about a swan and a crane. And one day a beautiful swan flew in from the skies above and gently settled down by the banks of a lake. And out in the water, just a few yards away, a few meters away from the banks, was this crane that was wading about looking for snails, with a trough in there and looking for snails. And for a few moments, the crane sort of stared at the swan and wondered. And then finally, when his curiosity got a better hold of him, the crane asked the swan, "Where do you come from?" "I come from heaven," replied the swan. "And where is heaven?" asked the crane. "Well, don't tell me you have never heard of heaven," replied the swan, who then went on to describe the grandeur of the eternal city. She told of streets of gold, gates of pearl, and walls mixed of beautiful precious stones, you know, of the river of life and purest crystal upon whose banks the trees, you know, whose leaves shall be healing for the nations. And, you know, in very eloquent terms, you know, very wonderful terms, the swan describes the best of heaven, eternal city. But that old crane just kept on digging around in the water and didn't show the slightest interest in what the swan was saying. Finally, after the swan has exhausted all her ability to describe the wonders of heaven, the crane popped the head up and asked, "Are there any snails there? Are there any snails there?" I've met tons of Christians who have had that same here and now focused. Are there any snails there? All they can see is what's in front of their nose. No vision for the future. No real vision for the eternal things of God. Just an earthly focus. Just what matters in this life. They're just too caught up in the needs of the now to be concerned with the unseen glories of eternity and God's wonderful promises for them. Now, how many of us and how many people you actually know who trade God for jobs, who trade God for relationships, who trade God, their relationship with God, for security? How many people, young and old alike, to whom God has granted the advantages of a good Christian home and a wonderful heritage as a child of God, have turned their back upon God, you know, and went searching for snails? How many men in this society, and increasingly so, if statistics is anything to go by, when, you know, will sacrifice their family, their spouse, their wife, and everything important to him or her just to go search for snails in life? Well, I'm not happy. I'm not happy in my life. Well, I'm getting nowhere. And they shut down and off they go. Well, we see that in the practices of our family law every day. I want to finish with a question. What are our priorities right now? What's most important to you that will hence govern your existence? I want to read you a passage of scripture, because I think scripture speaks better than I can, you know, than all the words I can summon, you know. I want to read you this passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, to 34. Okay? I'll read it slowly and I want you to listen and follow through, all right, with the words. Because I think this passage of scripture speaks volume and speaks eloquently in itself what priorities is like for us if we are to be conquerors, if we are to be people who are the chosen one, the royal priesthood, you know, God's special possession. Verse 25, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air," verse 26, "they do not sow or reap or store away in barns," in other words, put money aside into banks, "and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Now, this question is an amazing question. It is a self-answering question. In other words, in asking the question, you got the answer. There's no need for reply. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, at a single hour to your life? Again, it's a self-answering question. "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin." Verse 29, "Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, King Solomon, in all his splendors, was dressed like one of these." Verse 30, If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, you know, it's a very temporary thing. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So not only a self-answering question, but an insulting self-answering question from Jesus. Oh, you of little faith. So, it means therefore, in light of that, this is the conclusion. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? For the pagans, Jesus talking to the Jews, contrasting them with the Gentiles. See, the pagans, they run after all these things. Do Australians run after all these things? Not your church, other churches that I preach in. Yes. You are wonderful people. So that I get invited back. The pagans, they run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So they are necessities. They are legitimate. Nothing wrong with them. But seek you first. Seek first his kingdom. Now that's priorities. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Now that's a conditional promise. All these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble, you know, of its own. This passage of Scripture is the foundation for setting our priorities in their proper order and for introducing perspective into our life. Put God first. Even if you have, you know, elementary command of the English language, you would understand this little short statement. Put God first. Turn to your wife, turn to your husband, turn to your neighbor and say, put God first. You're so scared, so many of you. They're not even whisper it. You know, put God first. Martha, put God first. Seek his will for your life above your very own. God must come first. Anything else placed in the position of priority over seeking and knowing the will of God and obeying the call of God in your life is a perversion of the proper priorities in your life and will ultimately lead to your own detriment, to your spiritual death and defeat. Set our priorities in order, and then we will have a story to tell, an inspiration to give, a book to write, a song to sing. Seek after the things of God first. We must be biblical, not cultural. It is so easy to be a cultural Christian, to be selective in wanting what type of Christian value we want, and then ignore what we don't want. Cherry pick. It's so easy. We need to concern ourselves with the things of the Spirit that will matter for eternity. And then everything in this life will fall into its rightful place where they need to be. Because that's God's promise to us. And this is the final question for you. Will we accept God's ways and his plan? Or will we keep on digging for snails? Let's pray. Father, just want to thank you for your word, the authority of your word. And I ask, Holy Spirit, you take that word and you drop it into the inner recess of our hearts and soul. These are fundamental questions within our hearts that in addressing them correctly, we set incredible priorities within our lives that will give us an ability to be more than conquerors for you. to be truly of royal priesthood, a chosen generation. To be people who are truly God's special possession, people with a story to tell, people who are exemplary, people who are an inspiration to others, people who would demand others, inevitably demand others to ask, just what makes you so different? What sets you apart? What's your story? Why are you so peaceful? Why are you so calm? Why are you so collected? Why are you so well positioned? Father, open the eyes of our hearts to see that in this time and season, we need to be so set apart, so focused on your word, so focused on who we are and what you've called us to do, so focused on our calling, on our sense of destiny, so that nothing can distract us. No law passed by parliament, no politically right imposition, no cultural impositions of any sort is going to distract us, derail us, displace us, that the inerrancy of your word will be sitting right smack in the middle of our heart. So open the eyes of our hearts to see, Lord, that we've got an incredible journey here for you, that we will serve our generation, because our entire being, Lord, is prioritized to put you first. And you amazingly, wonderfully, graciously promise us, then all these things will be added unto you. You are not unaware of our needs. You are not unaware of our struggles. You are not unaware of our pain and our disappointment. You are not unaware, Lord, of our need to excel, to have a good story, to have a good achievement, a good outcome. But we need to prioritize you first so that we can enjoy the good that you have in store for us. The plans that you've got for us that are never meant to destroy us, but to bless us, to give us hope and a future. So help us with our priorities, Father, so that all our decisions that flows from that priority will be to your glory and to our blessings. Bless your people, Lord. Bless this church. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.